This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. Welcome to Dishy Mix. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. Hey, thanks for tuning in today. On today's show, we have Wenda Harris Millard, practically a household name in the digital media industry. Wenda has been with DoubleClick as one of the founding executives. She's recently left Yahoo as the chief revenue officer and is now the president of media for Martha Stewart Living OmniMedia. And so on today's show, before I bring her on, I want to let you know some of the things we're going to talk about with Wenda. We're going to talk about food trends, intelligent marketing programs, according to Wenda, what it's like to launch an industry, the importance of personal characteristics, why speed in decision-making is critical, and a little bit about doing good.
I don't know whether you know this, Susan, but Martha's kind of a geek.
I do know that. I know she was a very early adopter of things like digital cameras.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was on the cover of Wired this summer. There's a vision for this company, and it's timeless and beautiful content, and a very consistent mission in helping people live better lives and more beautiful lives every day. So I think really leveraging the relationship that a company has with a consumer, as we do with Martha's readers, viewers, users, in that way, is that's sort of how I think about an intelligent marketing program. One that really, I just think was an extraordinary example, was a dog food that was a top-line dog food that dog owners who bought this product absolutely loved it. They were wild about it, but the company could not move the share, and they were flummoxed. And they came to us and said, we think that you might be able to help us. And it took us 5 months to figure this out and put a program together, but we literally were the company who moved share for this dog food.
Welcome, Wenda.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Susan. It's great to be with you over the air here.
Absolutely. So you've recently left Yahoo. You're at MSLO.
Great.
And you're now both in charge of expanding the digital space and cross-platform opportunities for marketers, as well as owning the editorial side of the world. What's the breadth of the properties? There's print, online, TV, radio. Do you also manage the book content?
Yes. Well, the company has actually it's two parts. There's a media and there's merchandising. So I'm the president for all things media, which includes four magazines, 12 special interest magazines, many different websites, including our flagship MarthaStewart.com, and let's see, what else do we have? We have 4 daily television programs. And more to come. And we have a book division as well as a channel on Sirius Radio where we program 14 hours of original programming every single day.
Wow, 14 hours.
Mm-hmm. My voice gets really tired.
So what are the four TV shows?
Well, we have our flagship Martha Stewart show, which is a daily syndicated show. We have Everyday Baking, which we just launched, as well as Everyday Food. And then we have on the DIY channel, we have Martha Stewart's Craft Show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds good. And is she doing all four of those shows?
Well, much of what we do is Martha herself. Of course, her daily show is Martha. Our Everyday Food show is done by the editors, several of them, about four, from Everyday Food. And then Everyday Baking is John Baricelli, who is our chief baker. And Martha Stewart Crafts is Martha.
Okay.
So she does a lot, but we have a stable of talent here at the company, and we try to give Martha a break every once in a while.
Yeah, she's incredibly prolific. I noticed also that before my internet went down today from a massive rainstorm we're having, I noticed that she's also blogging, and blogging pretty regularly.
Well, every single day, she is obsessed with blogging.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether you saw some of the pictures over the holidays.
I did.
But they're just, I mean, she is loving it. And I don't know whether you know this, Susan, but Martha's kind of a geek.
I do know that. I know she was a very early adopter of things like digital cameras.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was on the cover of Wired this summer.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't see that.
And she went out to Sci-Fi camp at Google, and I can't build a digital empire for her fast enough.
Wow, that's so great. And so that is one of the things that you're chartered with, is expanding the company's presence in the digital space. What does that mean?
Well, you know, the company was the original omni-media company, if you will. And by that, I mean that Martha started the company never as a magazine publishing company or a broadcasting company. She was always very platform agnostic, and she always thought of herself as a content provider and not necessarily as a channel, as many media companies do. And so what I think we need to do now is to really leverage what it is that we know here at the company and expand the channels to include more digital. So as I mentioned, we have MarthaStewart.com as our main site, but we have many other beautiful content areas. We have a magazine, for example, called Body and Soul.
Mm-hmm. That was an acquisition, right?
That was an acquisition, exactly, mm-hmm. about 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's all about whole living. And it's a beautiful magazine, and we really need to build out that content more aggressively online. We have a great franchise in the weddings arena.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do more with that. So there's a lot that we can do to take this expertise that this company has and apply it, I think, more vigorously in the digital world. So that is one of the things that the company wanted me to do.
One of the things that I asked you about in preparing for the show today was when you left Yahoo, why you went to MSLO. And you told me that one of the most interesting aspects of the opportunity, that was kind of twofold. One was the opportunity to create intelligent marketing programs, and secondarily, the opportunity to run the content, the editorial, the programming side of the business, which you hadn't done at Yahoo, but you had done in the past with, I want to just say some of them. You were SVP and publisher of Family Circle. You were EVP and group publisher of Adweek, Media Week, and Brand Week. You were at Ziff Davis during the dot-bomb times as chief internet officer. So you have a classic publishing history.
Yes.
So first of all, tell us about how you're juggling all of these things. How is it to take over the editorial side, and what's happening for you there? And then let's talk about some of the intelligent marketing ideas that you're bringing to MSLO.
Sure. Well, I think probably, you know, in a nutshell, I would say that the arguments that I have now are simply with myself. So that, you know, if advertising ever argues with edit, that argument now is just with me.
Yeah,
so,
right. Yeah.
But I think it's very exciting to have an opportunity to contribute so very broadly, and then across multimedia, you know, from radio to TV to digital to the magazines and to books, and the opportunity to really deliver what the consumer is looking for as well as the advertiser. So it is a lot of moving parts. It's a lot of pieces. But it is a company where we are very, very true to certain ideals about our brand, and it's very consistent across any of the magazine titles or any of the digital or broadcast properties. There's a vision for this company, and it's timeless and beautiful content, and a very consistent mission in helping people live better lives and more beautiful lives every day. And so I think the consistency, as I said, regardless of which product it is, you know, whether it is Body and Soul or Martha Stewart Weddings, it's a delight to have an opportunity to have a mission and a vision that's so clear and yet can extend across so many products and please so many consumers and then please so many marketers. So it's loads of fun.
What's the most difficult decision you've had to make so far about a pull between advertising and editorial?
Well, I think it's really, because we live in an environment now where sort of the plethora of choice for marketers is so stunning, and that is because there is so much for the consumer to choose among. The marketers need to find ways to cut through the clutter, to get more attention, to connect rather than just reach the consumer. I think the push for product integration, branded entertainment, whatever you like to call it, I think marketers want to push a little bit more than they have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think just knowing where to draw the line so that the consumer really understands, you know, what is commercial messaging and what is editorial messaging. So I think though, it's sort of in that category of decision is when a marketer really wants to move too far, and it would be disruptive or intrusive on the consumer relationship. Those are always difficult.
Don't you think that the reality audio shows have really pushed that limit, including Martha's show herself?
Well, I think that what's very clear about many of these is what's important is how clear we are in terms of product integration. You know, whether it's a paid or non-paid spot, I think that the host of the show or whoever it is that is selling a product, and I think selling is the right word, I think we always need a lot of clarity on there. And I know that when we do product integrations on Martha's show, she tries very hard to make sure that people know that this is an advertiser's product.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the, I think we do it pretty well most of the time. I think there are times when it might come off as a little too commercial. And, you know, we're very concerned about that. We try to catch that every time. On the other hand, I think that when you have someone like Martha who absolutely will refuse many, many products, who want her to do that, I think that she does lend an air of authenticity that many others who are, you know, kind of shilling don't, because Martha will turn down far more than she will do. But I think, you know, I think anybody can cross the line. It's easy to do, and it's hard to monitor it all well. As I said, I think we try hard, and I think most of the time we do a good job. We're not perfect, but we're certainly working at it, because I think anybody in contemporary media today has to acknowledge that this is part of the way that business is done.
So, Wenda, one of the things I really want to hear from you about is how we can create intelligent marketing programs. Give us a really good example of one of your favorite programs that leverages so many of the channels at Martha Stewart.
Well, one that I'm particularly quite happy about is called Dove Pro Age. It's a product that you can find it, as a matter of fact, in the January issue of Martha Stewart Living, where we created a lasting beauty advertorial, 3 pages, on the Dove Pro Age product. And then we referred the reader to our website, where they could get a product sample of Dove Pro Age. And then Martha also did an integration on the television show. She, her mother, and her niece Sophie discussed 3 generations of beauty, and Pro Age was worked into that conversation. So I think really leveraging the relationship that a company has with a consumer, as we do with Martha's readers, viewers, users, in that way, is that's sort of how I think about an intelligent marketing program.
That's a great example. Wenda, thank you so much for telling us about that. I'm constantly impressed with what Dove does in all of their work. So I'm glad that you had a chance to play with them on that brand too. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back, I want to go a little bit further back in your history and talk a bit about the DoubleClick and Yahoo experiences that you had and maybe some of the highlights of that. I know you have some great career advice for many of our listeners. And so we'll go to a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about that.
Hi, this is Renee Stevens, host of Inside Out Weight Loss. If you want to be a thin person, you have to learn how to think like one. Learn how on my weekly show that aligns mind, body, and spirit for lasting change. Find me on iTunes or at personallifemedia.com. That's Inside Out Weight Loss, How to Think Like a Thin Person on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and we're with Wenda Harris Millard. She's the president of media for Martha Stewart Living, Omni Media. And before you were at Martha Stewart, you were at Yahoo, and before that, you really helped launch the industry with DoubleClick. I'd like Wenda, to take a little walk down memory lane and just what were some of the most amazing highlights of Yahoo? Like, what was one of those wow days for you in that job? Tell me that.
Oh, I think that, you know, Yahoo, I had a lot of wow days. I mean, just the excitement of walking into a company that had been left for dead, and knowing that its potential was as great as it was. I think, you know, moving that company from $720 million in revenue to $6.5 billion, that was a wow. We had a lot of wows on the numbers. But I think probably what I was the most excited about was in Yahoo was the area that was my responsibility, which was advertising, and really building a truly A-plus team of people who really didn't view their careers as selling advertising, but really viewed what they did day in and day out as providing business solutions to marketing issues. And I think that those were really, really the exciting moments when we really could solve a marketer's problems.
What
those were the great days.
What problem did you solve the best for
a
marketer?
Well, for example, the one that really I just think was an extraordinary example was a dog food that was a top-line dog food that dog owners who bought this product absolutely loved it. They were wild about it, but the company could not move the share. And they were flummoxed. And they came to us and said, we think that you might be able to help us. And it took us 5 months to figure this out and put a program together. But we literally were the company who moved share for this dog food. And it sounds crazy. It's almost funny. But there was no other media company that could do it. And it was tough. It was tough. But it was very, very exciting. So we were literally providing a solution to a critical business problem.
And what do you think it was in that program that
Well, it
made
very
the
much
difference?
Had to do with behavioral modeling and database management. So it was a very, very sophisticated program that required a lot of custom technology. You know, of course, we were able to use that custom technology later, you know, to scale this program for others. But it really was about behavioral modeling and then targeting and remarketing and really developing a significant relationship with their users online, with their customers online.
Mm-hmm. Very
so
good.
That to me is not selling advertising. I mean, that's really solving a business problem.
I'm thinking it was IAMS.
It was not. It was ProPlan from Nestle.
Oh, Nestle,
yeah.
ProPlan. Okay, that's
which
good
is great.
To know.
Which my dog eats.
Okay, so now I want to hear the most interesting DoubleClick story. And it doesn't have to be one even that you were involved in. It could be one while you were at DoubleClick. But I want to hear the best story of the crazy go-go days of the internet bubble. What do you remember?
About 75 of them.
Okay, well, give me one. Give me a really good one.
Well, one I remember was, you know, at our very, very famous sales meetings.
Yeah.
You know, we were dealing with, you know, hundreds and then thousands of people, you know, under the age of 30. And
oh, yeah.
So at a sales meeting, for many of them, it was their first business trip away.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be very nervous about, you know, sort of being the camp mom, you know, shepherding all these kids and, you know, hoping that everybody came back alive. And so I had to have all these rules about what you could and couldn't do. And so one of the things was, you know, I didn't want everybody to, you know, clean out their mini bars. And, you know, that's always a huge expense and, you know, just unnecessary. So what I said to everybody as part of the rules is, you know, you are not allowed – to have any of the liquor that is in your room. So you're not to drink the liquor in your room,
mm-hmm.
you know, in their mini bars. So a whole bunch of the people, I don't know how they did this, but they literally removed the units, the refrigerated units from their room and brought them down to the pool so that they could drink the liquor, but it wasn't in their room.
Oh, good Lord.
So I never, because I had used the phrase, in your room.
Yeah.
And
they found the loophole.
Right. They simply took the minibar, all of it, out of their rooms and brought them down by the pool and then emptied the minibars down there. So, I mean, there were so many crazy stories back then. I mean, I remember another one where one of our senior executives, I mean, just a brilliant, brilliant young woman, you know, working just crazy, crazy hours. I mean, we all were, it was nuts. Coming across her one night at 8:30, just sitting in the middle of the hall, sobbing, just out of sheer exhaustion. And I looked at her, and I started to laugh. And then she started to laugh, and the next thing you know, all the doors are opening, people coming out, and everybody's half crying, half laughing, you know, just out of exhaustion. And, you know, the sheer emotion of building an industry while you're building a company and all that that meant, how draining it was, and just, but coming across this executive just sitting in the middle of the floor sobbing, it was just remembered it as a funny sight. Highly emotional times, you
well,
bet.
I also wanted you to think before this, you knew I would ask this question today. I wanted you to just give one of those, you know, top three advice that you would give to people, not just women, but men and women in our industry who want to be successful. What are the things that they should do?
Well, I think, you know, the top one on my list is usually, you know, become a student of this business. Know what it is that, you know, you're involved with here. And I know that, you know, one of the things that is not a good idea is if you're a seller, for example, in the digital space, then you shouldn't just become an expert about digital advertising. You need to become an expert about advertising.
Yeah.
And you really, really need to read everything. You need to become involved in important industry organizations where you meet thought leaders. You know, go to their lectures, sit on, you know, committees and boards. One of the things that I believe in that, you know, not everybody does, but I do, is in, you know, your first dozen years of employment, change jobs every few years so that you have exposure to, you know, large companies, medium-sized companies, you know, startups, publicly held, privately held, lots of different exposure in your first 10 or 12 years of work, I think is a great idea. But being a sponge, being a student, and then also remembering that if you don't love it, don't stay in it, because passion is a great, great driver of success.
Well, I think you told me that in when you worked with Kathy Black at Hearst Magazines.
Mm-hmm.
It was her passion that really stuck with you as a mentor. How did she exhibit that passion? How did you see that passion in action?
Well, I think that, you know, it really came out in the details. Kathy's response to a piece of good news or bad news was never gratuitous. It was always, oh, I want to know more about that. You know, tell me how that happened or why that happened or what's going to happen because of it. It's genuine interest and involvement and thoughtful decision-making, but quick decision-making based on, you know, knowledge and experience and a love for moving forward.
Well, it's funny because with Kathy getting deeper into something, what she was actually doing was expanding her scope.
That's right.
Which was
That's
the
exactly
advice
right.
you just gave everyone for having a successful career. And that everything you said was expand your scope, go
mm-hmm.
listen to people, read things, look beyond your own business. It's all about embracing a wider purview. I think that's what I'm getting is really valuable to you. And then you mentioned speed. When I was asking you about what you think is maybe the most important aspect of the business world, the thing that you'd change if you could, it was about speed of decision making. And when I asked you the one thing you'd change about the business world, your answer to me was speed. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, one of my, everybody has their famous expressions, and one of mine is speed kills if you don't have it. Look, you know, I have an MBA too, so, you know, I get the analysis thing. And I certainly like to inform my decisions with good data, and I like to be very thoughtful. But, you know, at a certain point, you have two alternatives. If they both look pretty damn good, hold your nose and jump. And I think that, you know, we do more analysis than we need to in many, many cases, and we're not relying on gut decisions based on our judgment. And after all, we're paid for our judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can all move the ball forward faster if we trust ourselves more. And I think that, you know, I just see an awful lot of people not having the confidence or trusting themselves enough so that, you know, the answer is always more analysis, more analysis, more analysis. And what I would ask is, do you think that companies make more successful decisions about products or services that they launch or extend because they did more analysis? I don't think so.
Me neither.
We need to trust our gut more.
I trust my gut. I know you do too. And
you
I think that's one of the reasons you're successful and you're in a leadership position at all times. So I want to change subjects here because we're almost out of time. I know you love to cook.
I
also saw from your bio that you're on the James Beard Foundation on their board of advisors, or is it board of advisors or is it board of directors?
This is the board of directors.
Board of directors. So tell us about cooking. We want a recipe. We want to know what you're loving to cook right now, what books you're reading about cooking.
Oh, my goodness. Well, as Martha says, you know, Wendell loves this because she lives the life, and I really do. I mean, I absolutely love to entertain, and I've been cooking, I think, since I was about 7. I've just been very, very passionate about food. I just absolutely love it. And so, let's see, I have people coming over tomorrow night, and I'm making a wonderful veal and artichoke stew.
Mm, that sounds good.
And some arborio rice timbales with saffron.
Mm.
And some really wonderful roasted carrots with, you must have the best quality olive oil and great salt. Roast those babies. And then I'm making some wonderful roasted pears with a little goat cheese and warmed honey and pepper. Do you want to come over?
I would love to. And what I'd also like is to get the recipes for some of these things after the show, and I will post them on dishymix.com. So anybody who wants to try this fabulous menu, what I love is that you outline the whole menu, because I can always come up with one or two things, but I like the whole thing with all the flavors, the colors. What I noticed is you've got the orange with the brown with the green.
Oh, yeah.
The saffron perks it up. Yeah, that's the best thing.
And you noticed. So you get this too.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Martha Stewart devotee, darling.
There
so
you go.
I found something that I thought would be really fun. It's the first of the year, and there's always predictions for the year. And I found an article on 5 food trends for 2008.
Mm.
And one of them, you mentioned it in what you were just telling us about your menu. Can you guess which one it was?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see.
Of all the things you said.
A combination of... Was it something that I said about the pepper on the pears?
No, but it was close to that. It was the salt on the carrots.
Oh, yes.
Apparently, there's a focus on salt.
Yes.
Upscale designer salts are going mainstream. They're going into all the main stores. Do you want to guess what any of the other 5 food trends are to watch for 2008?
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see. We've gone through all the blueberries and the almonds and the broccoli.
Right. That was Paracone. That was Paracone, right?
Right. Well, we are all moving toward healthier living in general, but I'm trying to think of any of the specifics. Salt and great quality olive oil are 2 of my secrets.
Yeah, extra virgin, EVU, extra virgin olive oil. Well, I'll tell you, because I don't want you to suffer too long. And this is, you know, one woman's opinion, but she said probiotics, the functional food trend with beneficial bacterias and prebiotics and postbiotics as additives, will go hand in hand with the opposite of that, which is the ungobbledygooked label, the simplification of labels, chemicals coming out of our foods. She also said that there will be a bottled water backlash.
Oh, yes, that actually, I should have caught that. There will be, yes.
As I sit here, I'm drinking out of a SIG water bottle. I have given up bottled water. I fill it up from my fountain, from my tap, from anybody's tap. I drink out of cups. I do not make trash out of water bottles anymore.
Good for you.
It's ridiculous. We all have to stop that.
That's right.
And then her next one was fair trade foods, which absolutely we've got to convert our coffees immediately to fair trade and as many products as we can find.
Well, I think if some of those trends come true and we can see sort of the mass population adopting them, maybe we will have a better world.
It's one more way we can make our everyday living better.
You got it.
Hey, it's been so nice to catch up with you. I could have asked you 1,000,000 questions and gone on and on and on. You're such a delight, so articulate. You have a great view of the world. It's been really nice to have an opportunity for all of us to hear what's happening with you today.
Well, I enjoyed it so much, and I say hello to everybody out there, and I wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful 2008.
Exactly. All right. Well, you have just had the opportunity to get to know Wenda Harris Millard, the president of media for Martha Stewart Living Omni Media. That's a hell of a mouthful, Wenda. Hey, that's why they call it MSLO.
Right.
And I want to let you know that we will have some delicious recipes for you from Wenda on dishymix.com, so you can go there if you'd like to cook that veal stew or make those carrots. You can call me anytime and leave a message for any one of our guests or for me with your opinions about anything at 206-350-5333. And if you're a reader and not a listener, you're welcome to find the transcripts to this show on personallifemedia.com. Have a great day, and thanks so much, Wenda.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.